Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a marvelous Monday. The Papa John's poll question can be found each weekday at ESPNChattanooga.com and on Twitter at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Try one of six new handcrafted specialty pizzas today at Papa John's. Today's question, it's short and sweet. Who wins it from here? Auburn, Michigan State, Texas Tech, or Virginia? 43% of you going with Michigan State, 27% Auburn, 20% Virginia, and only 10% Texas Tech. We welcome in former Tennessee Vols guard Dane Bradshaw. Dane, who do you like from here?
Oof. I'll say Michigan State just because I keep betting against Auburn, and every time I think they've reached their peak, they keep winning and proving me wrong. So add me to the long line of people that don't think Auburn can keep going. But, man, would not be surprised if they did.
All right. Have you been in touch with Bruce Pearl, even through a simple text, since yesterday?
Yeah, I have. You know, it was funny. Before the North Carolina game, actually, he texted me. And, you know, because, look, he plays Calipari all the time, but not so much Roy Williams. And he sent me a text. He goes, Dane, I'm watching our game against North Carolina in Madison Square Garden from 2007. And he goes, yeah, we got beat that game. He goes, the good news is we hung 50 on him in the second half. So he was going all the way back in the archives there to see what we did against them, because really, you know, the players and rosters can change, but the coaches typically, you know, do what they do, their system and style. And so even though it was, 12 years later, he was going deep into that game to see what worked, and Roy Williams still does the same type of secondary break. Bruce Pearl does the same type of flex cut action, and lo and behold, man, he's got some good guard.
All right, Dane, how did he do it yesterday? I mean, you saw those first two games when Auburn played Kentucky. Really, out of those four halves, the second half of the game at Auburn was the only one that Auburn played well in. Kentucky with the advantage in size, those guys are athletic. Higgins has been hard to shoot over for Auburn's guards. And to not have Chuma Okeke, I mean, that game in the first 6 or 7 minutes went exactly like I thought it would. It looked like a rerun, down 17-7 and then 22-11. How did they come back and win that thing?
Well, even though, you know, a great defense like Kentucky, which gives me confidence for Auburn heading into Virginia. Virginia is a team that leads the country in defensive points per game, under 60 a game. And that's great when your defense can do that. But against a team like Auburn, that also means you're probably not going to gain that big of a lead. Like, okay, you might hold them to 25 points near the end of the first half, but you've only got 33. That means, you know, they're just a couple threes away from getting right back in it. And so I thought that's what happened, is Kentucky failed to really extend that lead too far once it got to 10. And really at the beginning of the game, I thought Auburn, even though they were down 10, when I looked at their early possession, Bryce Brown had two wide open threes he missed. They had a wide-open alley-oop that they didn't connect on. I was like, you know, they are getting some of the looks they want. They just weren't converting. And once Brown got hot in the second half, I thought he really took advantage of his matchup against Tyler Hero. Kentucky had to switch Higgins onto him. And then next thing you know, Harper's taking Hero off the bounce. And at that point, it was their game for the taking. And it's a reason why guard play is just so paramount. As good as P.J. Washington is, and even for Tennessee, as good as Grant Williams is, you saw what Carson Edwards and Klein did. I mean, you'll just take – usually good guard play beats good big play in March.
Dane, I mean, you're talking to a couple of Auburn graduates here that when Jay Jacobs made the hire, I mean, it was just incredibly well-received given Pearl's track record. And his years at Tennessee, I mean, six straight NCAA tournament appearances. Tennessee had never done that before. But how stunned are you that his greatest feat was performed at Auburn this year?
I'm shocked because, yes, there were the preseason expectations. But really the expectations were because not only their guards, but it was like, oh, Austin Wiley will be back, Dangelo Purifoy. And those guys have been okay, but they haven't been the reason that they're in the Final Four necessarily. You know, I mean, it was kind of a roller coaster season. Midway through SEC play, you wondered, you know, they'd gotten swept by Ole Miss. Kermit Davis did a great job against them, but they almost, they just didn't look like, you know, a Bruce Pearl team. But I noticed they were still playing really hard on defense. They were giving great effort, because typically what could happen in the past is they're such a high-scoring team that if they can't get the game in the 80s or 90s, then that dictates their defensive intensity, and they just, you know, they can't play with you. But I think they've really become a complete team. They still want to try to force turnovers. They still want to dictate tempo, but it's not just when they're making their threes. But I give all the credit to Bruce, man. That this guy, not everybody out there loves him. People that have played for him love him. You know, the fans love him, and you know, I know there's stories that come with his program, but as I talked to an assistant coach in the SEC today, he goes, man, I don't care what anybody says about the guy. He goes, I barely even know him, but you can't deny that guy can flat out coach his tail off.
You're listening to Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee Vols guard. You're listening to Dane here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Dane, thanks for joining us again. And to that point, he walked Cal and Roy Williams to the clipboard, right? I mean, he walked them to the chalkboard and just – because they both have better rosters than Auburn has, and he beat Roy by 17 and had no business beating Cal without Okiki.
Yeah, it's really amazing how he's – because when you lose to Bruce Pearl, the thing that can hurt is even to the average fan who might – not know as much about the X's and O's, looks at it and is like, man, that Auburn guy had a pretty good game plan. I mean, you can just see it out there so visibly that their game plan is executing, it's working well, whether it's turning people over or getting the shots they want. But, you know, I'll give, before, you know, taking too much credit away from Kentucky, if Kentucky wins that game, the story is, wow, this is one of the best defensive teams in the country. They proved it against one of the best offensive teams by holding them into the 60s. But Auburn proved they could win a game even when it's not high scoring. And I thought that was huge. It wasn't that Bruce Pearl necessarily just totally outcoached Cal and everything they did worked and all that. I thought the Kentucky Wildcats were well prepared. It just came down to who had the better guards. And in each of those games, Auburn has had the better guards.
Who wins a game of horse, Chris Lofton or Bryce Brown?
Ooh, man, I'm taking Bryce Brown and horse. For a contested three at the buzzer, I'm taking my guy Lofton. The only reason I give Brown the edge, I'd say it if Lofton was sitting right next to me. Lofton himself has always said, he always goes, I don't do good in three-point contests. He goes, I feel like I've never won one in high school, college. I'm sure he's been in some in Europe. He shoots it better when somebody's in his face. And so I think it's always been well said when they go, Chris Lofton, the best contested three-point shooter I've ever seen. And I can certainly ride with that.
All right, before David takes you back to the here and now in the college basketball realm, Jordan Bone or Grant Williams, do either stay? Does one stay? What is your insight into the decision that will rock and shape the Vols next year?
I think Grant Williams loves being at college, loves being at Tennessee. I think he loves the five-star Josiah James that he's helped recruit. I think he wants to play with him. The trick is, a guy like Grant Williams, who doesn't have the amazing athleticism and upside, he's not necessarily getting drafted off of potential like a guy for Auburn, Chuma Okeke. That guy is a better first-round pick than Grant Williams in the NBA eyes because of that, not necessarily the production, but the potential. I'm not sure what more Grant Williams can do in the college game. First-team All-American, back-to-back SEC Player of the Year. You know, it's not like you're going to expect him to just, you know, figure out by next year he's going to be a three-point threat. I mean, he knocked down enough of those. So, I don't know how much more he can do. And so if he comes back and all of a sudden he's less than what I just said, he's less than a first-team All-American and less than an SEC Player of the Year, then, you know, his stock is now declining. And so I think it's a tricky deal because I think he wants to be a four-year player, but I'm not sure it would be best
to go ahead and enter the draft. And for Jordan Bone on the other side, that's more about potential. While he was productive, there's no question he was really good. But I think if he comes back for another year, I think he can do more than he did this season, and he can improve his draft stock.
You're listening to Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee Vols guard, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. A couple of quick questions for you. We let you go. You were there when you know the rivalry with Pearl and Cal. It's no secret. Along those lines, how painful was that yesterday for Cal?
Well, I think when they beat one another, it means a little bit more to them, whether they admit it or not. And when they lose to one another, it hurts a little bit more, whether they admit it or not. There's no question. And, you know, I was talking to a reporter not too long ago and just talking about the Memphis-Tennessee rivalry and where it all began. And it was almost like the state's not big enough for the two personalities, you know, and it became territorial, and then it reignited. But, you know, Calipari, he's smart, though, because he doesn't want to engage in that rivalry because he doesn't have to. He doesn't need to. Bruce needs that rivalry a little bit more than he does. He's the one already in the Hall of Fame. He's already got the blue blood program. But now, because Bruce just won the biggest game of his coaching career, the biggest game in Auburn history, through such a talented Kentucky team, now it's going to be really hard for even Calipari to deny that there is a rivalry there.
And then I wanted to save my last question about Tennessee. We were just talking about it a few minutes ago before you came on. Tennessee with that just unbelievably emotional SEC semifinal win over Kentucky when they were down 8 with 2:45 and won the thing. If you look at their last four games, I mean, obviously you had the debacle against Auburn in the title game, but in their three NCAA tournament games, and those last four games in totality, Dane, why did we never see a 40-minute game out of Tennessee the rest of the way?
That's a great question. And it was unlike them because, you know, the way you beat Tennessee, in my view, is you try to make them play one-on-one offensively. It's not that they don't have players capable of it, but they're at their best. And when they're getting 19, 20 assists a game, they're top five in the country in assists per game. But when they lost, it was when they were getting like 12, 13 assists, which was a great indicator of, okay, teams were denying passing lanes, making them, you know, play some one-on-one basketball. But the thing you loved about them throughout the course of the season, when they got that number one ranking, it wasn't so much who they were beating during that time frame, it was how they were beating them. I mean, they were beating some good teams in the SEC, not the top ones, but good ones, and they were beating them by 12, 15 points a game because they didn't play the scoreboard. If they were up 10, they kept their foot on the gas. And for whatever reason, getting that solid 40 minutes straight of basketball just wasn't there. And I think a lot of that had to do with the competition. But when it was all said and done, man, I mean, they were one call away, one play away from being in the Elite Eight with a chance to go to the Final Four.
Dane, we thank you so much for joining us, not just today, but this entire basketball season. This was such a fun run, and fortunately we still have an SEC team in the Final Four, which will certainly keep us interested. But thanks for all that you did. You had a great year announcing, and you were fun to follow. And again, we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
You guys are great, and I hope that you didn't abandon being a homer on your bracket. You took Auburn all the way, because for the first time it could pay off for you.
Dane, thank you. It is unbelievable talking Auburn basketball in April and it not be an April Fool's joke. All right, 648-1051. We have time for one more segment here on Press Row. We're only going up to 5:55 today to make room for the Braves. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.